Well, we want to honor the Lord this morning. We appreciate the privilege we have of knowing something of His Word and of Himself. I sought the Lord pretty earnestly. Lord, what do you want for this morning? And I feel pretty definitely that the Lord gave me this. Ye are washed. But first, I want to give a tribute to the mothers that are listening this morning. This is by Helen Steiner Rice. It's a poem she wrote. And it seems so true and so good. Just want to read it. Seems so appropriate. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation, and it still remains a secret like the mysteries of creation. A many-splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender guiding hand. Isn't that what a mother is? What God put down in there is truly a most amazing marvel to me. It's like this poem says, though all the world can turn against someone, the mother will still be there, loving and crying. And you know, the Lord plans for the church to be like that too, doesn't He? Doesn't plan for the church to be any different. He puts that same kind of love in there for people and their souls. Sometimes they hurt us, but we love them still, don't we? We love them still the same, don't we? I was just going to say a few words about motherhood and family. Let's all remember, I know we take this kind of for granted, but folks, it's not for granted. Family is the fundamental building block of society. Amen. It is the fundamental. It's so necessary. A mother and her work with her children is one of the most fundamental and necessary things of life. Without it, a society will suffer greatly. Take that mother out, replace her with anything, anyone else, it's not the same, is it? It'll never be the same because God put something down in there that only you can't see it, you can't reach it. But it's there, isn't it? It's completely, wholly there. I thought about the scripture over in Proverbs 31 and 10. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And like I say, this is just a little tribute to mothers. It means she's invaluable. Her price is far above rubies. Folks, that means she's invaluable. You can't put a price on a mother, can you? She not only bears children, but she loves children. I'm talking about normal, common mothers that do what nature and God put within them. And even more so godly mothers. I think about the value of those. I was reading, children are more healthy physically when they have a mother in the home. Did you know that? When they have a mother at home training them and teaching them. You know why? Because they learn better eating habits, don't they? Somebody else doesn't care anything but to satisfy their cry. But mom, she cares about the child. She cares about the character that's being built. She teaches them good eating habits, doesn't she? She teaches them good habits of life. She teaches them at an early age While dad's at work, she's teaching them to learn to work. The smallest menial jobs. But she's putting something within them that is invaluable to society. And when you hire people to work, I will tell you, those that have had the blessing of mother have had a tremendous, tremendous advantage, haven't they? I know God has a place for all of us. Even if we haven't had that privilege, He has a place to help us and will. And part of that place is the body of the church. And He wants that to be. He wants us to fill in where mothers or fathers don't or can't. But you know, I think about nations. They are more likely to thrive, aren't they, when mothers are at home raising their children. Folks, I want to encourage us to take God's plan and work it. And let it work. It's a beautiful thing. Mothers are a most valuable asset. And I know it would be hard to overestimate the power of being a mother. You know, I think about, I've lived with a mother now for a long, long time. And through all the frustrations, I just want to encourage the young mothers. Through all the frustrations that you experience, all the waking up at night, all the things that you go through, the things you endure, the breaking of your heart if one of them rebels, the troubles of life, I want to encourage you that your influence there cannot be overestimated. The influence of the next generation. The next generation and how it is ruled, how it is handled. The next generation and what happens there. Do you know that you're raising the leaders of that generation? You might think, well, my children will never be a big leader. I didn't say a big leader. You don't know who their children are going to be. And you don't know who your children are going to grow up to be and what influence they're going to have in this life. And I want to encourage us today, folks. You might get looked down on sometimes by some in the world. But I can only say many of us have the highest esteem for those mothers that work hard and do their job well. I want to tell you, who else in society is more valuable than the ones raising the future generations? Who? Who could we say? It would be hard to compare to that, wouldn't it? So thank you to every honorable mother, every godly mother, especially. I just want to say thank you this morning and give that little tribute. I want to turn to our subject this morning that I've just had on my mind all week long. Ye are washed. Ye are washed. Which kind of means maybe you were dirty. Or maybe unclean, or stinky, or whatever. You know, I think about this morning. I want to start in Matthew, the 18th chapter, in the 23rd verse. And look at a little parable, if you will, or a likening that the Lord said. Here in Matthew 18 and 23, he says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Now, he said, this is what it's like. This is, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a king that took account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, And he began to add things up and take account of everything. It says, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. You know, that was a lot of money. That was, I didn't look it back up this time, but I believe it was maybe in the millions or something. It's a huge amount of money. And so there was one brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now, he said the kingdom of heaven's like this. It's like a king that brought some before him, and this fellow owed him a huge amount of money. And he didn't have anything to pay with. There wasn't any way to pay the debt. You know, that kind of makes me think of ourselves, doesn't it? There's debts that we owe God that we don't have any way to pay. There isn't anything we can do. There isn't any way we can clear some things up on our own, is there? There isn't any answer to some things. Some things we do and we get on our conscience, and then we have a guilty conscience, and we have sin in our life, and we have troubles, and there isn't any way to take care of it, it seems. There isn't any way to take care of the fact that we highly offended God. And what are we going to do? And it says the kingdom of heaven is kind of like this here, this man. And so it says that he commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Isn't that wonderful that somebody would have that kind of mercy on someone that owed them so much? You know, some of us have owed a pretty big debt to the Lord, haven't we? Maybe we've offended pretty big. Some of us here have, haven't we? And you know what? God has been very gracious to reach out and forgive it. This king, he was very gracious to just say, okay, I'm just going to write it off. I'm going to write it off. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And then he went on to say, verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Just not too much. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, he was angry with him, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You know, this morning, we are like that. We're prone to be that way, aren't we? We'll sure grab a hold and hold on to someone else that did something wrong, won't we? But we don't want to let go. And yet we want God to forgive us, don't we? You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to forgive from our hearts, from way down in here, everyone that has done us wrong. You know that? You know, if we don't, we become a prisoner ourselves. And so the Lord wants us to be free. Free. You know what freedom means? It means we're not in bondage. We're not entangled. We're not in chains. We're not held in a cell. We're free, and the Lord wants us to be free and clean. And this morning, I just want us to remember something. Folks, we put up a pretty good debt, didn't we? Anybody here put up a big debt with the Lord? Mm-hmm. We put up a debt with the Lord, didn't we? We all have some things we'd like to go back and undo, don't we? But I want to tell you something. The Lord just forgave us. We came to Him and we said, Lord, Will you forgive me? And he washed our slate clean. And he promised in his word never to bring it up to us again. And he said in his word that it would be as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? You can't get any farther than that, can you? It just keeps going. You know what? The Lord put our sins behind us like that. And he washed us clean. And he wants us to be clean. And he wants you to be clean. And you know what? I don't know what you have on your conscience today. But I want to tell you what. There's some things that people do. And believe me. Read a little. It stays on people's minds. It affects their lives. It ruins many things in their lives because of things that they carry and they can't shake. I want to tell you this morning, the Lord wants to just undo those burdens. He wants to take them off of us. The guiltiness, the sin, the darkness, all of that stuff. You say, well, I asked him one time and I failed him. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to forgive it again. Did you know that? He wants us to come to him in true repentance. Lord, I am sorry. I really want to live for you. And he wants to just clean it again. And do you know that somebody at Monarch, there at the youth, at the school assembly, you know, during one of the services, they got saved. Now, there might have been several, actually. But this one had a pretty good debt. And they got saved. And they said, it's been a long time since I've had peace. But you know what the Lord does? He rolls that old heavy debt off of us. The thing that's on our mind. We've talked to a number of people. And I want to tell you, you go start working with people that are in sin. And you know what's most surprising to me? Probably the most surprising thing is, you talk to them about eternal things. And you know what many of them will say? We or maybe it was Rosie, one of us was talking to somebody. And you know what they said? They think about it every day. In fact, I think they said they think about it every hour, didn't they? They think about every hour, those things. Eternal things. They think about those things. Do you know why? Because God is in the mix, folks. We can't see it. It's like a mother's love. How can you put your finger on it? Where is it? You can't see it in black and white, but you can see the effects, can't you? Well, I want to tell you, God wants to be something to us. And he wants to wash our slate clean. And he wants to take away all the guilt and give us peace. That's what the Lord wants to do today. Now listen to this in 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed. You know what Paul was saying? You are washed. You know what it means to be washed? It means to get the old off. It means to clean up. I love to wash. I really do. I love the feeling of being clean. I always did. I love to be clean. I can't stand to be dirty for a long time. You know what? The Lord wants to wash us. And what was he talking about there? I want to turn to that 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. Listen to what the apostle was writing about. In 9 and 10 before he says, And such were some of you. You were some of these things. But ye are washed. You know, in verse 9 we find out he was talking about fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. You know, we start saying, ick, we don't want to get close. I want to tell you something. God takes guilty, dirty sinners and makes them clean. And makes them into white, pure saints. And how does that happen? How does that happen? Because he forgives and washes the slate clean. And when he washes it clean, he replaces all of that trouble with peace. That's what He gives. God gives peace in place of all that trouble this morning. Now, I know that Satan will come right in and try to start accusing and try to all those things. Folks, we have to fight through some of that and get on the other side of it. I just want to tell you, if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to fight through some things. And it goes on to say, nor thieves, in verse 10, nor covetous. You know what covetous is? It means greedy. You ever dealt with a greedy person? I tell you, you'll come out on the short end of the stick. It doesn't feel good, does it? Such were some of you, it says. Nor revilers. You know what a reviler is? You know someone that really reviles, that talks back to people and ugly and... Oh, such were some of you. And nor abusers of themselves with... I'm sorry. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. People don't like those kind of people, do they? That's who he was talking about. And he says, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, folks. But ye are sanctified. But you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All this morning, I may not have a long message, but I just want to share with you this morning. The Lord wants us to be washed. And He doesn't care what it was we dipped into. Sure, He cares. He wishes we wouldn't have. But I want to tell you, He wants to wash us. And He wants to get the filth off and the uncleanness out of our lives. And He wants to wash our hearts. And He wants us to be clean. It feels good to be clean, doesn't it? Brings peace to have cleanliness on the inside. I was thinking about our conscience. And I want to speak to that a little more this morning. A conscience, folks, is a very real thing. It'll cause people to not be able to look at you. I know some people are shy and they just look down when you talk. I know that. But an unclean conscience will cause people also to not be able to look at you. They stole from you, maybe. They did things. I want to tell you, a dirty conscience can cause those things. I want to tell you, God wants us to be clean. He wants to wash us. You know, when things are dirty, Brother Delmer one time was telling me about washing cars. And he said, you know, some things just come off with soap and water. And I was like, wow, yeah, I guess so. It just comes off with soap and water. And you think that you have to wash it down with all these degreasers and all this. But he said, some things just come off with soap and water. And some things require other chemicals, don't they? They require things. I want to tell you, when things get on our conscience, it's not easy to wash that away, is it? It's not easy. It follows you everywhere you go, doesn't it? But I want to tell you something. There is something that will cleanse it and that will wash it. And it'll remove the stain. It'll remove it, won't it? And then the Lord don't deal with us, thankfully, after our sins, does He? And then He doesn't deal with it. He doesn't bring it up every time something comes up. It's done, isn't it? There's only one thing that'll do that, folks. We were washed, weren't we? I'll come to that in a minute. You know, this morning, you can't see it with your eyes. You can't see the conviction on a person's heart, can you? You can't see what weighs heavy. You can't see what somebody wishes they wouldn't have done. You can't see what somebody is doing. Always. But I'll tell you, it's there, isn't it? You can try to cover it. Well, you can hide it. You can try to hide it. Isn't that kind of what happened to Adam and Eve? You might think that's just a story. I want to tell you something. It happens all the time with people, doesn't it? It's very real. And what did Adam and Eve do when God came down? The presence of God. Folks, it's very real, the presence of God is. And you know what they did? They hid, didn't they? They heard His voice. Oh, I can't stand before God with this disobedience in my life. And they hid, didn't they? You know, this morning, we can try to cover it, can't we? In fact, Adam blamed it on his wife. And she blamed it on the devil. Well, you know what? They had it there, didn't they? And I'm sure the rest of their life, they regretted that. But folks, Jesus has provided something so good for us today. It is so healthy. It is so beneficial. It is so helpful. It is so healing. It brings hope to a life. Because we don't have to live under that the rest of our life. Did you know that? We don't have to live under it the rest of the life of our life. Some people try to cover it with good works. And they run out and they try to cover it. They try to cover their sin with good work. And they try to comfort their conscience by trying to do good things. And, you know, I've heard it said to me, you know, well, if I can do enough good things to outweigh the bad things, or, you know, to make up for the bad things. You know, that isn't the way it works, does it? But that's what people try to do. They try to cover it like that. You know, it's kind of like trying to get tar out of clothes, isn't it? It doesn't just come out with any cleanser, just any cleanser. Some people try religion. They really try religion. They try to reform. They try to change their works and their habits. And maybe it helps sometimes, those they're changing their habits, I'm talking about, and their help and things like trying to help things, trying to not be so whatever they are or were. Some people try idol worship. And they bow down before these things that they made or somebody else like them made. And they try that. And they hope that will help them. Well, folks, maybe they start being a better person for a while. You know, I don't know. But I want to tell you, there's only one thing that can clean up the inside. That's Jesus. That's His blood. It's the only thing that God made that truly converts the soul. It truly cleans the mind, the heart. It truly cleans, doesn't it? Some people try penance. If I'll just pay this, if I'll just do this, maybe it'll go away. Maybe God will accept me then. Some people try the rosary. Some people have given their firstborn. Did you know that? People have done a lot of things to try to get guilt off of their heart. They sure have. If you read over in Micah 6 and 8, we find here the Lord says, He hath shown thee, O man. No, starting at 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? Now the Lord's saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Will the Lord be pleased with 10,000s of rams? Can you sacrifice enough? Or with thousands of rams or 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He hath shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Did you know there's power in those words? That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to serve the Lord with all of our heart and mind and soul. And I'll tell you, when we do that, He takes care of all that other, doesn't He? When we come to Him first and ask for forgiveness. The scripture tells us that we are washed by the blood of Jesus. That's in Revelations 1 and 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Folks, it's a love story from beginning to end. I wish we all knew that. I wish we could see how that God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and how that he made all of this for our pleasure and our benefit. Did you know that? God did that. Then he made man, and who can deny there's a soul? Who can deny and say there's not something that goes on inside? Of course there is, and we all know it. We all know that there's a guilt with sin, and we all we all know that's heavy, don't we? Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I want to tell you, we can try religion. We can try good works. We can try everything we can. But there's only one thing that will wash it. It's like the tar in the clothes. Some things won't take it out. But get the right stuff and it may come right out. Is that right? I guess they have something for that. I know, I've seen cleansers like that. You can take things out that seems like nothing else will. But there's only one thing that will clean our soul, and that is the blood of Jesus. He gave it up on purpose because he loved us. He gave it up in such a way that he wanted us to receive. He wanted us to be able, when we believe on him, when we allow him into our life, when we repent of our sins. I want to tell you, there's an amazing and an awesome thing that goes on inside. And our slate is cleaned. Our slate is cleaned. Tell me, what else can do that? Are you washed this morning? Are you washed? Let's do some business with Jesus. He wants to wash your heart. He wants it to be clean. And he wants us to be free. And he wants to help us this morning. And if we falter and we fail, I believe he gave us that verse on purpose. The righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. You know what that means? If he's just constantly messing up. I want to tell you something. There's something in a man that wants to live for God that gets up and goes again. I'm going to live for God. That's why he put that verse in there. He said, I write these things unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's the bridge between us and that destiny that we had. He's the bridge between us and God. He's the bridge that takes away the sin of the world this morning. Oh, don't we know how much we need that? He's the bridge from where we are to where we need to go. I want to read a couple more songs to you this morning. One of them is in the blue book called Nothing But the Blood. And it goes like this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I have seen people that were not whole. I've seen people that were stained with sin. And I've seen the blood wash them clean. My mother didn't live for the Lord most of her life. But I want to tell you, when she was older, 6 months before she died at 73 years old, I want to tell you, she truly got saved. I saw her change. I saw her change to a sunbeam. My mother was a depressed woman much of her life. But I want to tell you, I saw God change her life. I've never personally witnessed any more with a more dramatic change than my own mother had. I want to tell you, God did something for her. And so it takes away all the doubt. I know where my mother is today. I'm quite sure of that. You know what? She changed. The Lord washed her clean. She was never a wicked person, but she nonetheless was not saved most of her life. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, or make a, it can't make it okay. It can't make a sacrifice for it. Nothing can. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I want to tell you, it'll make a big difference in your hope and peace, won't it? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll overcome, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'll overcome by that same that washes me white and clean. Now by this I'll reach my home, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Folks, it's there for us today. Glory, glory, this I sing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, this morning, I hope someone here is inspired. I hope a bunch of us are inspired in our souls. Folks, Jesus shed his blood for all, that every man might be saved. I know there's people that'll never hear about Jesus. And his word tells us very plainly that he'll judge them accordingly. He understands that. But I want to tell you something. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we can be made pure within. Only by the blood of Jesus that all of our sins can be forgiven. I want to read another song to you. I love these songs. And it's in our book, 466. Jesus paid it all. I hear the Savior say, thy strength is indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. Verse 2 says, for nothing good have I whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Verse 3, and now complete in him my robe, his righteousness, close shelter neath his side, I am divinely blessed. Verse 4, Lord, now indeed I find thy power, and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Did you know the Lord can change the leper spots? In the Old Testament, leprosy was a disease that was, I guess, incurable. It was something people feared. If they had leprosy, they couldn't even get close to anyone else. In fact, in the land of Israel, if they had it, they had to live in a certain house, away from other people. And if anyone came near them, they had to cry out, unclean. Unclean. I'm unclean. Don't come near me. But I want to tell you something. There was a man, I believe it was in Syria, wasn't it? His name was Naaman. He got leprosy. And there was an Israelite girl there, a young lady. And she said, oh, I wish you were in the land of Israel. Because then the prophet, I believe it was Elisha at that time, he would heal you. And when he heard that, hope came in his heart. And he went to Elisha, didn't he? And he brought great gifts and all these things. And you know what Elisha said? I don't need all your gifts, but I'll tell you what, you go wash. In fact, I think he just told his servant, didn't he, if I remember right? Just go tell him, go wash in the River Jordan 7 times. You go wash 7 times, and you'll be clean. He was infuriated. Go wash in the River Jordan 7 times. Of all things, that's way too humble. And that's dirty. It's a dirty river. I wouldn't want to go to Jordan and wash there. But his servants got a hold of him. Naaman, Naaman, listen, if he would have had you do some great thing, you would have done it. Oh, but this humble little thing, just go wash in the River Jordan. Folks, I want to tell you, he washed. He became convinced and he went and washed. And he was clean. And he was well. And he was healed. Folks, Jesus is just that way. It's way too humble, isn't it? It doesn't fit the crowd where the greatest and the best and the best looking and the most popular and the most famous and all of those artists and all those things. It doesn't fit that crowd, but I'll tell you who it fits. It fits anyone that wants to come and bow themselves before the Lord Jesus and humble their heart to Him. I want to tell you this morning, there's an awesome thing awaiting, and that's healing and being clean and being free for once in your life. Oh, this morning, the Lord bless us today. When from my dying bed my ransomed soul shall rise, Jesus died my soul to save, shall rend the vaulted skies. Verse 6, and when before the throne I stand in Him complete, I'll lay my trophies down, all down at Jesus' feet. Now folks, I want to read to you one more place in Acts 2 and 37 to 40. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You know, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Folks, if we will save ourselves from this untoward generation, I want to tell you, we can be saved this morning. And I want to encourage us to do just what Peter said. Repent. Tell the Lord you're sorry. It's the only way for Him to clear our conscience. It's the only way for us to get clean of it all, isn't it? The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off. Folks, that takes out in me and you. This is the bridge that saves us from a guilty conscience. This is the bridge that saves us from eternal night. That's upon everyone that has not repented. Folks, this morning, I want to encourage us. God's made a way to Himself. It took the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. But that old guilty tar on our soul, it'll melt right off with the blood of Jesus. I know this is different than a regular Mother's Day message, but folks, I've been thinking about it all week. Come and be saved today. The Lord bless us all. Get that tar off your soul. Get cleaned up with the Lord. Take some time and do the humble works. Kneel down before God and pray before Him. And He'll wash every sin away. All of them. Away. Away. As far as the east is from the west. And He'll never bring it up to you again. Never. Thank the Lord for that bridge that we have between us and God. You pray for me. I want to make it over there one day and see His face in peace.